May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So yesterday, I was taking my monthly turn helping out at the food pantry in Mansfield as a roader, and I serve every 4 to 6 weeks handing things out. And one of the things that particularly struck me this week were the boxes and boxes and boxes of bread. The food pantry in Mansfield gets the bread from Trader Joe's that just before it's day-old bread. You know, the old day-old bread we all used to get at the market for half the price of the good fresh bread. It's the day-old bread, and they donate it to the food pantry, and we end up with boxes of it, all different kinds. Parisian baguettes and hot dog rolls and English muffins and ciabatta bread, you name it. Just boxes of bread. And one of the interesting parts about serving the food pantry is the way it's set up is everybody comes through and they choose their own groceries. They choose the food that they're going to cook and eat. And different people get very different things. There are people who are pasta and sauce people, and then there are rice and bean people, and then there are people who stock up in peanut butter and jelly, and others who go off with a bunch of tuna fish. I imagine they make tuna casserole like my grandmother made. But almost every one of them, no matter what else they put in their grocery bags, collects a loaf of bread. Everybody takes bread. It is the most ordinary thing in the world. Bread is that staple, that ordinary thing that's found in everyone's homes. Almost all of us have eaten bread at some point or another in our lives. Even if we're watching our carbs, we might indulge in a little bread now and then. Because bread is the thing that joins us and unites us across culture and across past and across tradition. It's just bread. Which makes it a little bit amazing that when Jesus first starts talking about who he is, this is the guy you remember who stilled the wind and the waves a couple of weeks ago, that when he starts talking about who he is and what his role is in the world, he compares himself to bread, to that very ordinary thing that everybody had. If you start thinking about who God is, and then you start thinking about bread, it'd be a little hard to wrap your mind around. It's hard to imagine that the God that this is how the psalmist describes. You wrap yourself with light as with a cloak and spread out the heavens like a curtain. You lay the beams of your chambers in the waters above. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers and flames of fire your servants. How the heck does that God get into bread? How do we wrap our minds around a God who rides the winds, who makes the clouds his chariot, who has servants in the flames, into a God who comes to us in the same thing that appears piled in boxes at the back of the food pantry? I suspect it's as hard when we really start thinking about that, to wrap our mind around that, as it was for the people who heard Jesus to say this, to wrap their heads around the idea that this man who they had grown up knowing, this guy they grew up with, who they had watched go from a child into an adult, getting into whatever the usual scrapes were, could have come down from heaven. You would find that hard too if Eric over here said, "I am the bread of life." You know Eric. You've had dinner with Eric. You've broken bread with Eric. And Eric is a really nice guy and amazing and has wonderful insights and things to say. But he's as ordinary as bread. It was hard for the people listening to this to wrap their heads around the idea of a God who would walk among them as neighborhood. And he would compare himself to a loaf of bread. No wonder they didn't know what to make of what he was talking about. But the thing about bread is that it is ordinary. And it is a part of all of our lives. And it is something that we share across cultures and history and tradition. Bread is also one of those things that if we have bread, we're sustained. It's the fundamental sustainer of life. That's why when you get that very minimal diet, just enough to get you through the day, we talk about giving you bread and water. So it says something really important when we say that God comes to us as bread. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," he is indeed talking about God being with us in our very ordinary lives. He's talking about the way God is accessible to us not only in moments of transcendent splendor and amazing beauty, but in the very ordinary acts of kindness and thoughtfulness and sharing that we offer one another. One of the interesting things about being an ordained minister is when you tell people what you do for a living, "Hi, I'm the priest at St. Mark's," a fair percentage of people immediately start to apologize to you because they haven't been to church for a while. And I would say, "It's okay, you're absolved, go sometime in the future. Next time you feel the need." But I also always ask, "So, if you don't go to church, where do you find God?" And the most common answer I get is people talk about finding God out in nature. They talk about climbing mountains and experiencing the grandeur of the view and being amazed and awed at the wonder of creation. And that's where they know what God is. They talk about encountering God in these beautiful vistas and in these places of quiet. And I get that because absolutely I find God there too. That, by the way, is a place where it's way easier to imagine God laying the beams of your chambers in the water above and making the clouds your chariot. Standing on a mountaintop with the clouds out in front of you, it's much easier for me to feel the presence of God that God described in that psalm when I'm standing on a mountaintop. Because that fits my image of the majesty and glory of God. But I am also mindful that Jesus says, "I am the bread of life, not the winged chariot." It turns out God is also present in the church. He's present when we gather to sing songs with the guitar, to laugh with one another, to point out that the priest just skipped over the prayers of the people again. God is present with us when we take care of one another in those small ways. It's a little bit harder sometimes to see the God of glory and majesty whose name we're exalting in coffee hour and in the simplicity of bread and water. But Jesus tells us that's where God is. Because he comes to us as the bread of life. Not the elixir of life, the bread of life, that fundamental thing that sustains us, that ordinary thing that we all have access to. Jesus is present in these very ordinary people surrounding you. Jesus is present in the very ordinary pieces of your life. The times when you are alone and the times when you are with others. And what that means is that God is always present with us. Not just in the moments when we are aware with that soaring feeling of transcendence of God's power, but in those moments when we are frightened, when we are lost, when we are exhausted, when we just don't have enough energy to go on. When, like Elijah, we want to lie down under a tree and let God take us. God is there. God is ready to sustain us through that day with our daily bread. God is ready to help us put one foot in front of the other through one more day. God is there when a friend reaches out a hand and says, "Can I help?" When somebody in the church says, "Do you need a meal?" When there is just that momentary respite for sleep and rest, God is present. Because God is present in the ordinary, in the bread, in water, in one another. So let us rejoice in a God who has fire like messengers and comes to us as the bread of life. Amen.